This is an interview with Donald Karen for the Mill
Chiggle
Workers Oral History Project on October 25th, 2005 in Lewiston, Maine. I'm Gretchen Grebe interviewing. Could you please state your full name?
Donald C. Karen.
And can you spell it, please?
DonaldCCarron.
Okay, and what is your place and date of birth?
October 27th, 1924.
And what were your parents' names?
Jules Karen and Anna Karen.
And what was their background? Where did they come from?
They're from Canada.
From Canada. And what were their occupations?
My mother was a housewife. My father worked for the railroad.
Did they speak French?
Oh yes. They both spoke French.
And in your house, like when you were growing up as a child, did they speak?
All French. Yeah.
When did you learn to speak English?
When I went to school. Well, we talk a little, but not much. When we went to school, that's when we learned the most.
So did you go to school, when you started going to school, was it originally taught in French and then they had English as like a class? Or?
Well, we went to French school first, uh-huh. St. Louis, but that burned down. And after that, I went to Walton.
Yeah, but we had French, English in the morning and French
yeah,
in the
yeah,
afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Half and half.
Half.
Okay. Your family is also from Canada?
My yeah. father and mother were born here in the United
here.
States.
I see.
And my father went to war in World War I.
I see.
Yeah.
So you speak English only?
We learned to speak English after we started like playing around with some kids, you know, and going to school. That's how we learn. Because when we had the fire here in New Auburn, I was in, they call it kindergarten. Well, after that, they put you on the first grade. Well, we had to go to the Lincoln School on 5th Street, 6th Street, because the school burned down. So we went to school there, and that's where we learned more English.
Oh, I see.
Because they didn't have French there.
So
we learned more French and more English then.
Mm.
But when they built the school back, we went back to the school. So we had, in the morning was English, and in the afternoon was French. So we learned a little bit of everything. Today, if you go to English school, you learn just English.
Just English.
But in those days, back in the 40s, 1933, the fire.
Mm.
Okay.
Do you think there would have been any problem for you if your family hadn't spoken French and yours did for a marriage? Would there have been any?
No.
It
no,
wouldn't
no,
have mattered?
No. Wouldn't interfere at all.
In the family, who did what? Who took care of the money and organizing of the family?
My mother and father, because he was the only one working. They took care of it.
So your father took more care of the money and the mom?
My mother did.
Of the money, too?
Yeah.
Okay. And where exactly did you grow up?
Right here in New Auburn.
In New Auburn?
Yeah.
Is your house still there?
No.
It
was right next door in the driveway. It burned down in a fire. New Auburn fire.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the New Auburn fire?
1933.
In June.
It was a big one, too. Everything burnt straight up to the school.
From Pulsifer Street going right up to Brook Street. First Street, Second Street up to Roke Street, and from Third Street to the church. It stopped at the church. This here burned down here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of families lost their homes.
Yeah.
What kind of relief effort was there? Was there
just the Red Cross, that's all.
Red Cross came.
Yeah.
And did people have insurance for the houses? Did they get them?
Well, they had some, not too much. I guess in those days, you know,
yeah.
Insurance, it wasn't that much.
Right.
But they went to the Red Cross, was it the
Yes,
city
what
home?
I said, the Red Cross.
And they gave them, you know, a little bit of everything, but what they needed, but not the whole thing. They couldn't, they had to buy new furniture. But we were lucky, we were living across the bridge on that side, so the fire didn't go there.
The only thing we saved was a small Philco radio. That
wow! Out of everything,
everything burned,
and their clothes on the back.
Did the mills help with any money?
No, the mills couldn't in those days. Red Cross is the only one, and it was like Red Cross was like Salvation Army. You know, they donated most of the stuff, but it was kind of
people
rough.
Would help each other.
Yeah.
You know,
it was rough.
Yeah.
So the community, the next question is, what was the community like at that time? It seemed like they helped each other.
Well, they helped each other. They helped each other as much as they could, you know, but it was pretty good.
Because where we used to live there, Mrs. Bolker, they had 8 apartment house where we used to live.
Yeah, but you did burn.
No, but they took in the Delectos and the Motel. There was 2 empty apartments.
Uh-huh.
So people would bring some stuff so they could sleep on it until, you know, and they'd feed them.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody that knew somebody, they try to help them out, you know, to give them a helping hand. And I think they stayed there for about 6 months downstairs from us until they built. And then they built on, one built on Riverside Drive and the other one built on 2nd Street.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was pitching in to help each other, you know.
Did the people build the houses together? Like...
No, their own. I mean, whoever owned the building, they took care of
yeah,
it as much as they could. They started building and remortgage and build the building. That's it.
What kind of activities were there in the community? Was you said there's the church and you play marbles. Did the community also have a theater? Did they have...
No, the theater wasn't... Yes.
There was only one theater. It was Auburn Theater.
Auburn Theater.
On Court Street.
Yeah.
But after that, after they start building, they built a community theater right here behind there. And we had the Coca-Cola bottling too in there. And we had the drugstore on the corner, Dusso drugstore.
But
so
it changed.
It built up, but not like it used to be, because all the buildings were just like little Canada before they started.
Everything's torn down
now. Yeah. Were there any clubs? We read about there were certain clubs for Franco-Americans.
No, there weren't too many clubs in those days.
Well, they had the pastime club in Lewiston. They used to play.
Yeah, but they didn't help the people up.
I don't know.
No.
I don't remember that. But they had the Legion that was on, Post 22 was on Lisbon
the
Street.
The Legion in those days was very poor.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything.
Yeah.
It's not like today.
No.
Today they got a big club up here. They what every city's got one now.
Let's
see. So, were people respectful of others' differences? Do you remember hearing of any disrespect for people?
No, people was pretty good. I mean, they get along pretty good. They respect each other as much as they could. So.
Mm-hmm. There was more respect between young people and elders than there
were? There were in those days, yes. The young kids in those days, they'd respect the elders.
Mm.
But they forget it.
Well, not everyone. But
no,
I mean,
No.
Because I remember once I went to the store for my grandfather to get him some cigars, and it was across the street, and there was a penny left, so he gave me the penny.
Mm.
So in the evening, I said to my mother, I'm going to go to the store buy myself a bubble gum. She says, where did you get the money? I told him, my grandfather gave me a penny. She says, he needs his money. You should go for free.
Mm-hmm.
See, for just a penny, how it
was
in those days, you know?
And now we don't even care about pennies.
No, we don't care about pennies.
You want to
you
hear a good
one? You can't do nothing for 5 cents either.
I got a bill in the mail last week.
Mm-hmm.
10 cents, says J.C. Penney.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that takes the cake. 10 cents, mind you.
They sent you a bill for
somebody
minutes.
Screwed up on the account or something.
On
we pay every month. As soon as I get a bill, I pay for it.
We pay it. And
I can't afford that.
It was 30-something, 64, and they charge us 54.
We went up and paid it.
When they made their
declared their credit, you know.
Wow.
That's
10 cents.
Today, unbelievable. 10 cents.
That's hilarious.
Today, they don't even bother to pick it up.
No, definitely not.
No.
How would you describe the differences between Lewiston and Auburn?
About the same. Lewiston and Auburn's about the same.
Were there any differences between class? Did wealthier people live in one area? And
well, there was more rich people in Lewiston because it was bigger.
Uh-huh.
It's bigger than Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But you take Auburn, New Auburn and Old Auburn, it's just as big as Lewiston. You come right down to it. Auburn is more expanded.
And what's the difference between New Auburn and Old Auburn, which obviously Old Auburn was built first, but why are there two separate parts? Why isn't that all Auburn?
Well, they still call it Auburn. Some people call it New Auburn.
But when you see the sign, it says New Auburn, once you cross a little bridge.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just where they they ran out of room in Auburn and decided to continue.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It was warm, and I guess.
Like you said, one is older than the other. That's the only difference.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
What attitudes did the city have of each other? So there were baseball teams, like a Lewiston baseball team, and
there was football together.
Football in those days. Yeah, I know. I played football. I know what it is.
November 11 was a big game for Lewiston and Yale, both teams. Sometimes it was here, and sometimes it was at Lewiston. It all depends. One year would be in one place, and the other year would be in the other place. But they always played November 11th.
I played a long time ago.
How important was religion and religious holidays for you?
It's just like any other day, but we had to go to church on the holiday. Mm-hmm. It's the only difference. But you know, when you're a kid, especially with us, four boys and one girl.
Two girls,
yeah. Lorraine and Julie.
Wow.
My father was the only one working, so it was kind of rough, you know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
14 years old, I was working, lugging ice on my back.
Huh.
I worked for an ice man. Used to lug the ice. They had the old-fashioned ice box. You put the ice cake on top.
Uh-huh.
That's what I used to do.
That was your first job?
And I cut ice up Taylor Pond one year. 40 below zero, and I fell through. I know what it is. A chrono by hand. Then after that, move on 8th Street, and my dad was, you know, like you said, he was poor. They built a big wood yard across the street. I was lugging wood, cutting wood, everything. I was 14 years old. But hey, today, didn't bother me.
And the money that you earned went towards your family?
Yeah, I gave it to that, to mom, and she gave us so much a week. That's it. So, you want to go to a movie or something like that. So, in those days, boy, 50 cents a lot of money.
Yeah.
But today, $50.
Because I used to babysit five for 10 cents an hour.
Wow.
When I worked for Crono, 50 cents a day. That's all we used to get. 50 cents a day. You start at 7 in the morning, you go 6 o'clock at night. You'd have to wait in line to get paid on Saturday. So I'm telling you, it was kind of rough.
Was 14 a normal age to start working?
Well, in those days, 14, 16,
about normal time.
But then I can't forget, every Saturday night there was a woman on Main Street in Auburn, mm-hmm. on the fourth floor. She called for half a ton of coal. Half a ton of coal is quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You used to take those big gray buckets, put them on your back, and lug four flights of stairs with those. 4 o'clock, at 4 or 5 o'clock, Saturday, you sure she wanted it. Half a ton of coal.
Wow, that's a lot.
50 cents a day. Mm-hmm. But hey, what the hell? I survived.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot. But it kept you focused.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. This is why today it doesn't matter what kind of work I do. It doesn't bother me. I'm used to it now.
Wow. So, do you find people today are very different with regard to religion?
No, there's not too many religion. I mean, it doesn't change that much, but there's very few going to church. Like it's not like it used to. It's the only difference.
So, when you were younger, the entire family went to church?
Oh, yes. You had to go. You better make sure you went. I came back from service on a furlough one year, and I haven't seen my brother for a year and a half, I guess. He was overseas too, and I was overseas. We came back, and on New Year's, Christmas Eve, they had a mass up there. Mom said, "You gotta go to church tonight."
Midnight mass.
Midnight mass. Everybody lined up.
Wow.
Hey.
And they used to sell tickets in those days because a lot of people would go to midnight
today,
mass.
Today? Well, forget it.
Sell tickets to midnight mass.
Yes. Yeah. Sell tickets to midnight mass. So we had to buy our tickets ahead to go to church.
Otherwise, you couldn't go in.
Midnight mass.
No room. But today?
And after that, we'd
go. You can't count them on your fingers.
And after that, we'd go to his mother's house and we'd have a meat pie and croton and pea soup. And,
your meat pie.
And then we'd. We'd unwrap our gift and be all together, you know. It was a lot of fun then, but now everybody's gone, so.
Yeah.
How's the food at Bates College? Good.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they do a good job. They buy from some of the local farms, and they do really good with vegetarian and different things. It's pretty good. I miss cooking. It's always nice to have it prepared for you, but
when you make it home, sometimes it just tastes better.
Yeah.
Same with us. We go out a lot, but now most every weekend it's been raining, so she cooks. It's the best way.
In the winter time, you cook more too. You feel like it's cooler and.
Yeah.
Home cooking food.
My favorite place is right here in Lawson, Kathy Hut, Chinese food. I love Chinese.
Mm.
It's good.
Have you ever been to the Thai restaurant? There's Thai dish and there's pepper and spice there.
The hot stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
Good.
Really good. How much did the tickets to Midnight Mass cost?
They used to cost 15 cents.
Mm. Wow. If you only made 50 cents a day, that's pretty
a
lot.
Yeah. And they collect in church, and if you give them a dime, they give you a nickel back. They had a man making a change in back. Cost you 5 cents.
10 cents for one collection for the church, and then 5 cents for the other. So it cost you 15 cents for the two collections.
Forget it today, though.
But it was packed in those days, you know what I mean?
Right.
And people really want a church and everything.
But it's not only us, it's all, it must be the same way in Japan, everywhere.
It's everywhere,
every place,
Yeah.
It changed so much.
Yeah.
And how long did you serve in the Army?
In the Army?
Yeah.
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Were you drafted or enlisted?
Yeah, I was drafted.
You drafted.
Yeah.
And where did you serve?
I was in the Armored Force, in the 8th Armored Division. I was a tank mechanic. I used to fix guns, all the guns that went, what the hell, like if they jam or something.
Uh-huh.
I used to go up front and fix them, come back, and that's all I used to do.
Wow.
And you drove a tank, too.
I drove a tank for a while, too, those big M4 tanks.
Huh.
But, hey, you had to go through.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah, he left March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 1943, and he came back February, my grandfather died.
I'll show you a picture.
February, I'll say 10th, when he came back, 1946. And we got married July 6, 1946, the same year he came back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had you known each other before
you
left?
Yeah. And in those days, they didn't give you an engagement ring. He gave me a black onyx with a little chip in it. And my mother says, you know what that means, in those days, She says, you'll have to wait for him because he gave you a diamond.
No.
Mothers, that's the way they were those days.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
That's when I went in
Louisiana. In New Orleans, in the Shreveport.
That's the tank I used to ride.
You used to
ride.
Wow. Yep.
I used to repair.
That's in the
bayous guns.
In Louisiana, where they had the hurricane and the flood and everything.
That's
wow.
The snake country, forget it.
Did you notice a change in Lewiston when you came back?
Oh yeah, no, quite a bit. A lot of fellows I knew get killed overseas, when they were transferred. Some didn't come back, and some came wounded. It was rough.
Mm.
But what can you do?
Him and his brother were lucky. His brother left in January and you left in...
I was a year and a half overseas, so I was lucky. I came out all right, so.
You went to the Battle of the Bulge. You went to the Battle of the Bulge and...
Yeah, that was kind of rough over there, jeez.
And there's something else.
We went through France. From France, we went back to the Bulge. From the Bulge, we went up almost to Berlin. But on the outside of Berlin, that stopped. And the Russians took over. That was it. I was glad to come back.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back with my brother, but... She didn't want anything, so I
didn't. No.
She asked me to get married.
Don't believe him. I says to him one day, I've got proof. I still get some letters, that you sent me while you were overseas.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough when you're all old,
But he met. But you met Bob in France.
Yeah. 16 months I haven't met him. I met him overseas in Germany. Oh, Jesus, we had a ball. Mm. But it was nice, though. Mm. He came back before I did.
Yeah, he came back in January, and you came back in
February.
Because we had made a farewell party because they were both going together. They didn't know they were going to have a furlough together, and they did have a last furlough together.
Mm-hmm.
So his brother was in Texas, and him he was in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
And his father was working for the railroad, and of course he had those tickets that he could ride the train for free.
Mm-hmm.
So after we gave them the party on Saturday night at our house, well, Monday morning, his father says, I'm going to take you to Boston. I'm going down with you on the train to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So he went as far as Boston, and him, he took the train for New Orleans, and the other one took the train for Texas.
Wow.
And then they haven't seen each other until they met in, was it in Germany or France that you met
Germany.
In Germany?
Salzburg.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah.
Make a change. My best friend, I was with in the service. He was from Appleton, Wisconsin. He came to see me, I don't know how many times. He was the owner of these Dairy Queen, all these Dairy Queens.
Really?
He was in charge of all of those.
Yeah.
He came out of the service, his father passed away, so they put him out of the service to run the business.
Mm-hmm.
Then he popped in, he was sitting on the front porch one day with an old Toyota.
Toyota.
He had his own plane and everything. He passed away 6 months ago.
His wife wrote to us and told me he was gone.
72, 73.
Yeah.
All at once.
Yeah.
Too bad, though.
Sounds like he had a good life, though.
Because that last time that he came here, he had to go in Thompson, that Dairy Queen they have on the left-hand side going down to Brunswick. That's where he was heading for.
His wife sent me a letter not too long ago that she said, I miss him quite a bit. So, well, he was in charge here. Him and her used to run the business.
Yeah, and they were always together.
He went back to Germany, I don't know how many times. He used to be on the road. But he enjoyed it. Leapside.
Yeah.
But
and then the one that we met there in Massachusetts.
Oh, Medoris?
Antonio Medoris.
Yeah, his brother was a cardinal down there.
Yeah, and...
I made a lot of nice people down there.
And then the one from Biddeford, Tuesday, he died too.
Yeah.
They were all together.
Look at Caswell.
Caswell.
The younger than I was from Midway, Maine.
Midway, Maine, yeah, they were all
together.
There's
one guy who used to live on Blake Street by name of Roy. I never met him again.
Yeah.
Well, the guy I used to work with in the mill, Lionel Odette, he was a super at the end when the mill closed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the head ones. Him and I left the same week, the same outfit, we never saw each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think about it. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Well, we saw him at the Bates Mill when he was there.
I mean, overseas. I never met him.
No. Were you working at the mill before you left for the service?
Yeah. I was there a year before I left for the service. I went in the mill in 1941. 1942, Don. 41. No, I left
Vincent 41. Wait a minute. My father died January 12, 1941.
Yeah.
And
that's the same year I left.
And you were working there, and I was working for Mrs. Vincent.
Yeah, but I left Vincent, and I went to work for Libby.
Yeah, that's right. Then I left Mrs. Vincent. That's how we met. The Vincent bottling plant. Now it's not a bottling plant anymore, but it's right on the corner of South Main and Mill Street, that big building. That used to be Vincent's bottling plant.
Mm.
And he used to work for Mr. Vincent. And I used to work for his daughter-in-law.
Mm.
And that's how we met.
Mm.
I was babysitting. She had only two then.
Mm.
See, I always said you asked me to get married.
Oh, sure. Yeah. What happened? Oh dear.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't care. I don't care if it's recorded or not. There's nothing wrong there.
The truth is coming out.
There's nothing wrong there because you asked me.
Yeah, so anyway, so we've been going out ever since, and waited for him for 3 years.
Wow.
And then he went back to the mill again.
Yeah, I went back to the Libby. I went in, I started on the Libby in 42, and I got out of there, it was 1970 or 71.
We were still there.
Pepe died in 1969, Vincent.
But you were working part-time for them.
Oh yeah, but I mean full-time I'm talking about, when I left the mill.
Because whenever he went for other job, we always stick to the Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
They needed help, that somebody was sick or something, we always go back and work with them. So when Mr. Vincent died and Mamie Vincent died,
mm-hmm.
we always helped them out,
mm-hmm.
you know, for food or have them cook or do something for them.
After I left the mill, I left the mill to go to the Lance Loading. Then he put me as manager on
Brisbane
Street.
That was son-in-law.
Then after that, well, they expanded too much and they closed every store there was. So I was the last one down the store.
Yeah. Why did you guys work in separate mills? Why?
Well, me, I was a different kind of, I was a mechanic.
That was a woolen mill.
Yeah.
And Continental Mill was cotton. And he liked that over there, and
I went in there,
and like I say, we never did change job. If you went in, you like a job, you stick to the job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And him too, he liked it over there, but after that, well, they asked him to go for LeBlanc's, and
yep.
that's where he quit
yep.
the Libby, and then went back to Libby
yep.
after that when they closed the
yep.
store.
Then I went up for the old chicken house with
yeah.
Libby used to
yeah.
where they made the curtains.
Yeah.
Then they closed, so.
So it's just each mill had a different kind of fabric or different
yeah.
Oh yeah,
purpose.
Different fiber
yeah.
and different
yeah.
kind of work. And
yeah.
I was mechanic in a spinning room, a fixer. Any kind of, any one of those frames would break down, I'd work on them. So
was it a time constraint? Like, did you have to try to fix it really fast?
Oh no, you fix it, we had a chance. As long as it was fixed, that's all they cared. But it was wood.
See, and the Bates Mill was more known to make bedspread and things like that. Us, we made cotton to keep the guys from the war going because we made heavy material. Khaki colors or like when we were working weekends, we had to work on the khaki, they call it. It was in white, so we, you know. And then the Enniscrogan Mill was more like a silk. The bobbins were smaller. And the Pepperell, it was sheets, Pepperell. They made the sheets, pillowcases. So each mill had, I can't remember what the Hill Mill was doing. They were doing cotton too, but different, but the Hill Mill too. So we had a lot of mills.
Well, Libby was only strictly blankets. And at the end, they were making curtains.
Material for curtains.
Curtain for her, yeah. And we made electric blankets.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you didn't like working at one mill, you could easily quit and go to a different
mill.
Yeah, you could.
You know, it all depends.
Yeah.
I was getting good money at the end. I didn't care, so down the mill, so.
Yeah.
But LeBlanc gave me more, so he put me in charge of the store, so they closed
but
that.
But the mill, every mill, it was good work. Yeah.
I used to like it.
And people were nice to work with, you know what I mean?
In fact, when I worked part-time down Palmery in there, Paul Libby, part of one of the Libbys, he used to come down to see me over there, buy his stuff from us down Palmery. Mm.
So you had a pretty good relationship with
Libby.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's the Karen family, but all the family from the Karen worked in there. My sister worked there, I don't know how many years. My brother was an overseer there.
Mm-hmm.
I worked there. And my other brother, Bob, well, he worked just part-time and he quit. He went to
Palmery. And then Ruth?
Jerry worked there.
Yeah, the ones in Alaska.
Yeah.
He worked there, didn't work long because he didn't like the inside cotton smell.
And my brother, the oldest one, well, he's blind. He lost his wife. He married one that was working with him down the Libby Mill, and they're living together. I hear
second wife. His picture was in the paper when we went to the Bates Mill.
Oh, really?
Ruth and Sylvia.
We went together, and if you see the picture, he's pointed,
and
she's below him. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All
so
the Libby Mill.
Ruth and Sylvia Karen.
You began at the Libby Mill because of your family that was already working there?
No, it was a better paying job from
yeah,
Vincent Barley.
Yeah, Sylvia was in Julie, too.
Yeah, but it was better.
But it was better.
That's why I went in there.
Mm.
But hey, it was a good job, so I didn't mind it. A lot of people didn't like it, but hey, it's a job. What can you do?
Like I say, you change clothes, you know, you bring your clothes. You used to work in overall and t-shirts, so you had, you know. But you couldn't, we didn't wear the same clothes in and out.
That's all.
Change over to come back home and go to work.
How long did you work at Livingville?
1942 till 1971.
Wow.
That's quite a few years.
That's a very long
time. And how were you, like, how long did you work there?
At the Continental Mill? Well, say from 1948 until they closed, and I can't remember the year they closed.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like 1971?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, early 1970s.
Yeah.
Because we were still living there.
Yep.
We used to live in a brick building here before we bought here.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very far moved.
No, I was born on Mill Street, right across the little bridge there, that big green building there.
Uh-huh.
I was born there on the third floor.
Wow.
And then in 1941, after my father passed away, we moved over here. We always lived on the same floor as my grandfather and grandmother. And she was the one taking care of us after school. And when it's all right. And when we moved over here at 46, we always stayed on the same floor again.
Interesting.
And then, well, my grandfather and grandmother passed away, and my uncle and aunt. So my mother was sick, so we decided we'd buy here. It was for sale, so we bought here.
Very close.
So we bought here in May, and she died September 30th, so it's been 35 years this year, 1970.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to die at 35?
I don't think so. I'd be too old. I don't want to live that old.
Not at 81 years old. I don't want to go any further.
No.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Mm-hmm. 81, that's great. Let's see what else I can ask you. Oh, you were talking about childhood memories. Perhaps you were, what did you do for activities when you were a child?
When I was a child?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, you got me there.
Skating. I played hockey for a while.
Oh, yeah, I played hockey, and we both used to go skating quite a bit. You know that.
Yeah.
And I played football.
Uh-huh.
I didn't play very long, though. I got knocked out a couple of times, that was it. But I kept working mostly.
Did you play football through school or just with neighborhood kids?
No, we stick with the neighborhood mostly. Mm-hmm. Used to live on 8th Street up there, and all the neighbors. Yeah, I'm an Arrow.
Yeah,
one of us.
But it wasn't with the school.
No,
then.
Not with the school.
Just the kids.
Just the kids.
So most of the other kids that you played with, their parents also worked in the mill.
Yeah, shoe shop in the mill.
Well, Lyman's father used to work in the shoe shop. My father used to work at the Cushman Hollis, now where Denny's is.
Mm.
There used to be a big shoe shop there. That's where I worked, Shapiro.
Oh,
and they tore that down.
They tore that down, too.
Yeah. But then Shapiro moved where the barn is on Minot Avenue, and that's where Shapiro closed for good. I was working for a Big John then.
I've been over there for years, the barn. I gotta go see what they get there.
So anyways, but there was a lot of shoe shop, too. Like you said, you could go from one place. If you didn't like a job, you could go from one place to the other. But today, it's altogether different.
Right.
There's nothing left. It's too bad, you know, because...
But you know, they keep closing these bays and everything. What the hell people's going to do? Look at the one in Brunswick that they're going to close. That's too bad, you know.
It's all going overseas.
Yeah. Everything goes
that
overseas.
That place is going to go to hell completely, Brunswick. Oh, boy. Too bad. Well, look at the one in, not Portsmouth, but where we go there. Yeah, mall in New Hampshire. What's the name of that base they closed over there?
Oh, Peace.
Peace Air Force.
Peace Air Force, yeah.
They closed that.
In Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
They made something else out of it.
Yeah, it's too bad, you know. A lot of people out of work.
What do you see for the future of Lewiston? Because there's no more mills, there's not a lot of work. What do you see?
I don't know.
People are moving out of town. The kids, people that's at age to, you know, they get married or something like that, they're going to move out. There's no good jobs.
Because my niece...
No paying jobs.
My niece, Dawn and Sue, they're their daughter's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
She went to college and found a better job over there, so she stayed there. So she's not coming back to Lewis and her other.
You guys stick to college. Get an education.
Well, that's what they're doing, too.
You better believe it.
Get a good job.
Yeah. So now people have to move from
work. That's the problem. You know, if you move too far away, the price of gas, the price of everything, they can't commute anymore.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I remember when we bought our first car. We were married in 46, we bought one in 48 with a second-hand car, and gas was 6 gallons for a dollar.
Not today.
Wow. Not today.
Not today.
Not today.
Almost $3 a gallon.
Wow, that's amazing.
The oil's the same way. Heating oil, the same thing. Mm-hmm. 254, 258.
Okay.
This winter's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's altogether different from when we were brought up from today. You know what I mean? You need more money to live.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
I'm
going to
heat the stove downstairs this winter. I got a wood stove.
Everything is expensive, you know. But you do the best you can.
You can't eat just bananas. They're too costly.
So you're a mechanic at the mill.
Yep.
How did you get your job?
A fixer.
Well, see, I was a mechanic in a service. That's why when I went back to the mill, they knew I could do the job. So.
Oh, so then you had extra credentials.
Yeah. I had a follow-up, see.
Did you work the same, what kind of hours did you work in the mill?
In the mill, from 6 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And were there vacations?
We had 1 week vacation.
Not when you got married, you had to take it on your own.
Yep.
They didn't pay you then.
And just the pocketbook.
When
we didn't
got
have
married, we took our vacation on our own without no pay and no vacation time and no sick time and nothing.
Yeah.
But today it's different.
Were most people with the mechanic position, were they mostly men?
Yes, mostly men. They were all men as far as mechanics on the mill. Because a woman couldn't do that kind of work. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. And were there any restrictions for age? Did you have to be a certain age?
No, if you could do the job, they'd give you the job, you know. But you had to qualify for it. You had to go and take a test, and if you do it all right, if you don't, well, you don't get the job. That's it.
Right.
But I've been pretty good. I can't complain.
No injuries? No.
Not today.
You were injured at the mill.
I was injured one in the mill.
Yeah. Finger.
You know those fingers don't bend?
Oh, yeah.
They get caught in a wheel 20 times. And there were some spikes this way coming through. My hand got caught in there. My wedding ring caught in there. Pulled my hand right in there. And pulled the belt out. The guy that pulled the belt out passed out. I walked out of there. They took me to the hospital. I was out for 6 months.
You were there at the hospital for 31 days. And
then I went to Portland.
Boston. At the rehab.
Rehab.
You were without work for a year.
The only time it hurts in the winter, shoveling
cold,
snow.
Cold.
Did.
But he was lucky.
I keep good lumps.
So what happened when you didn't work for a year? Did the mills do anything to help you or?
No.
They just paid the bills for that.
You just paid the bill. The insurance paid the bill. And that's it. But live on your own. That's it. Hey, what can you do?
There was no insurance in those days and nothing like that.
Today you get compensation and you get help.
Today
there's nothing now.
So there's.
But when he was in Boston, every 2 weeks he could come down here. So they pay him his fare to come home. And the following week I'd go up. I think the Flying Yankee that was on Bates Street.
Oh, yeah.
There was a train station there. And I used to take the Flying Yankee at 7:30, and at 8:45 I'd be in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be waiting for me.
They gave me a room over there, the size of my bathroom. Just a bed. And
a bureau.
A bureau and two hangers to hold your clothes, to hang up your clothes. That was it.
But it was better than nothing because he had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
They didn't have any like that in around town here.
Right.
And then I was in a covered district, mind you.
Yeah, but that wasn't that bad then.
Wasn't bad though, no.
Because we walked the street. I used to go.
In the afternoon, I'd take off and go to the movie or something like that, you know.
They give them tickets to go to the movies and tickets to go eat, you know. They had that own cafeteria. And when I'd go down, we used to stay at the Bradford Hotel on Tremont Street because it was closer for the rehab for him. And closer for me to come to the station and not station.
So there was one guy, they was there for 3-4 months, I guess. He was supposed to come in to get out, you know, on a Sunday. Damn fool, I can't say any better. Don't take. He got out on a Saturday night and he got drunk and he fell down the stairs again.
Oh,
he
no.
He broke an arm. They kept them.
Oh, my gosh. most injuries at the mill had to be sent to Boston.
It all depends. See, him, it's because on account of his hand, he couldn't.
See, they had this all tied up with a coat hanger.
You know, a real coat hanger?
Coat hanger was with the duct tape right here, and the coat hanger was like this. And they tied all these with elastics to the coat hanger, so I couldn't move my finger, try to move them.
Because you could see the bone, and they do, they put some kind of solution every day in powder so it could heal.
The doctor, Lawson, Dr. Green, he said, I'm going to cut your fingers. Then Dr. Goldman said, no, he said, we're going to save him. And they saved him.
Yeah.
I thought, sure, they're going to cut all four of them.
Wow.
But no, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Most anything would have been. Could ask him.
Yeah.
The only thing, like I say, when I use my snowblower in the winter, I got to make sure I have a good lunch because it gets cold. Well, goes with the age, too. But I can't complain.
So you, after your year of rehab and everything, you went back to work?
I went back to work, down the mill.
And you weren't scared?
No. I kept going. That's the first year we got married.
No, the second, 48.
Second, yeah.
We got married in 46, and that happened in 48.
Yeah, and I kept going. But hey, you gotta keep going.
Yeah, you got to, huh? That's what work is. I guess you have to. Let's see. What else did I want to ask you? You said, were there any differences between the bosses and common workers? Did you notice any discrimination?
My brother was boss, so there was no difference.
He was one of them.
I was one of them, but no. In fact, unless something would happen, the boss from the office would come upstairs and give us a hand and this and that. God has it. No difference at all. You know, that was one thing that was good about it. The boss would join with the other fellows. They needed help, they were there to help. Look at Lemieux. That's the way after
Lemieux, yeah. He was a good boss, too.
Look at John Libby. Paul, he'd come up and help us. He's the owner of the mills. He'd come up and give us a hand. Take his shirt off and let's go. They were nice people to work with.
Was being a mechanic, was that a higher position than other positions?
Well, it is. Mechanic is a higher position than a spinner or something like that.
It's a fixer, though. It's a fixer. Not a mechanic.
A fixer and a mechanic, the same thing.
Well, it's a fixer.
But I enjoyed it.
Were you paid more money?
Well, I was getting more money than the other people.
Do you feel, looking back, do you feel that you might have been overworked?
No, I can't complain as far as overwork. Working, I put in my 8 hours and that was it. So I was never pushed around, to do this and do that. But in fact, I'm the one that helped the last set of frames we had over there. They bought them in Italy. The guy that put them back, he couldn't talk English, and I couldn't talk
Italian,
so that was nice, you know. That was a job by itself. But
we got it done.
Yeah, they got it done. They set it up and it worked.
And the barbers was this big.
Wow.
Barbers was that big when they got done and that high. I know, I've worked on those.
Yeah.
That would work well. I like those frames.
Yeah. Is that the one they moved out in the south? No.
Max Miller bought those.
Oh.
The motor on the end of that was that high. You could speed it the speed you want to. That would be. But hey, yes. You think of that, you get a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bring back memories.
Yeah, because we always all went together, Julie,
yeah,
Silvio and Ruth, Don and I, when they
had the Bates Mill, yeah.
The Bates Mill. It's
all
together different life than today.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? We wasn't afraid to walk the streets then and go to the movies and come back when it was dark, and now you don't dare, you know. But
that far back when we were down the hill, these two girls probably wasn't even born yet.
No, I guess not. I don't think so.
I'm nosy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Very
you're welcome.
Yeah, it was so interesting. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
It makes a change.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be learning about Lewiston and Auburn because it's really, so many colleges have just a college town and no history, and Lewiston and Auburn have so much history.
Yeah.
It's
there is.
Yeah, there is. Because we were always, you know, Lewiston and Auburn were always together. And because we didn't have no store in Auburn, we had to go to Lisbon Street, go shopping.
Did you go see that new college on Lisbon Street there?
No.
That they built there? They just got done with their parking garages?
Yeah.
That is nice. There's a bank in front there. They built a new bank there too. It's a business college though.
Yeah. Can't remember the name now.
But it's changed, you know. Yeah, everything changes. What can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Change for the best, they hope.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too.
Can I take a picture?
You think it's gonna come out good?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Should we do them separately?
Yeah,
probably better for different tapes. Okay.
Yeah.